Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Good stuff. Great song. And it was written by Russ Ballard. You might remember him from the 60s. He was in Argent, the band Argent. They had a hit, Hold Your Head Up, Hold Your Head High. And I love the lyrics. They're very spiritual. It certainly fits in what we're talking about today, which happens to be look straight ahead, looking straight ahead. Good to be back. Had a great time. Thank you. Had a great time in Australia. It's a beautiful country. I recommend it. People are very friendly, just as Texans are friendly. Always good to come back. The wedding was fine, and that went well. The only little sadness was my uncle from Wales passed away while I was in Australia, and so that put an inflection on the trip a little bit. And you know, it's always difficult to deal. I'm the next of kin, so it's difficult to deal with somebody that passes in general. And then when you're 12,000 miles away, it's even more difficult. So. But it kind of fits in with the theme today as well, so we'll talk about that in a minute. So looking straight ahead, see, today's topic is about the ability to look from the now forward, right? We only have the now. We only have this present time. And so our task in life is to live the unfoldment of the now, right? That's what looking straight ahead is. And I love the analogy of the going down the highway with the big barriers in each side, yes? Because you cannot look back. You have to look straight ahead. You have to focus, right? There has to be that willingness to go with what's now. And if you overcompensate, if you start panicking, if you start worrying about things, you're not going to do well when there's those concrete barriers. Yeah, there has to be a sort of a relaxed focus. Unfortunately, we're not always there into that relaxed focus of looking forward. So my first question is, you know, how does looking back work for you? How is that working? It can be a killer, can't it? Because, you know, you're always looking into the past. You're never present to what is. And so it's not helpful to us. There are aspects of the past that can be helpful, but when you're always looking back, you cannot progress effectively in your life. What do they say? Nostalgia isn't what it's cracked out to be, right? It's not the same as it used to be. The idea that there was a golden age. When I was a kid, I grew up in Wales, and therefore I was very nostalgic. We call it, there's a Welsh word for it, it's called hiraeth, and it's a longing. I think there's other cultures that have the same idea, this idea of longing for something. And there's always this longing for a golden time or when it was perfect. I found out there is no such thing, right? There is only the now. There is only moving forward. And the more time we spend in nostalgia or in regret, the more wasted time we spend, in my appreciation. So I've come to the conclusion I don't want to do that. I want to move straight ahead. Not always easy to do that. You know, even looking forward, thinking that you have all the tools that you need because you remember all the things that happened in the past, isn't always effective either, because, you know, we may have all the things that have happened in the past, but you've got to expect the unexpected, right? And when you think you've got it all worked out, then your uncle dies. Or when you think you've got it all worked out, some catastrophe happens, or when you think you've got it all worked out, the job ends, whatever. So you have to expect the unexpected in order to be present to what is. We have to face it. Andrew Cohen said, face everything, avoid nothing. And I really like that, because I think it sums up the whole of the spiritual path. Because if you can face everything without avoiding something, where are you? I'm facing it. I'm not avoiding it. Where are you? I'm right here. I'm available, right? Because if I'm trying to avoid something, then I'm cowering in fear somewhere, right? And I don't need to be doing that. I need to be present to what is, to face it. Face everything. Avoid nothing. See, there's power in that. Because if I can face something, if I can truly look at it, What? Do you feel it? What's it like to do that, to really look at something? You have mastery over it, exactly. There is something within you that arises that gives you power over the situation. Whereas when we allow ourselves to be cowed in some way or to avoid in some way, Don Miguel Ruiz in the Four Agreements said a similar thing. He says, don't make assumptions. See, because when we assume that we know something, what happens? It may change. Whoops, where do I go from there? You know, if I make an assumption it's supposed to be a certain way, and then it doesn't work out like that, then I've got egg on my face, right? So not making assumptions means I want to be present to what is. Face everything, avoid nothing. Andrew Cohen. Don't make assumptions. Don Miguel Ruiz. Be present to what is. Paul John Roach. One of my favorite lines, be present to what is, because that's all there actually is, isn't there? If you think about it, you've got to be present to what's happening at every given time. Now, here's the good news. When you can be present to what is, who else is there with you at that moment? God, right? Spirit. The presence, whatever name you want to call it, the energy, the power, the ability is there. Because instead of my ego and all its assumptions and fears and concerns being there, clouding everything, now I'm facing it, I'm being present, I'm just in the now, in this moment of the opening of the pathway, and I can experience that energy of God. I can experience that energy of possibility, of freedom, actually. In that moment, I am free, right? We make a decision to be 100% free, without expectations, without assumptions, without preconceptions about something. What an amazing place it is, right? How often are we there on any given day? You're there all the time. Great. How about somebody else? As often as we want to be. That's a beautiful answer, isn't it? As often as we choose to be. As often as we're willing to and courageously show up to what is, then we're there. And in a sense, what you're saying is true, because that essence of us is always there. But we're not always there with the essence, you know. We're with something else. We're filling our minds with other stuff. Now think about Jesus. Jesus was constantly moving forward, straight ahead. If you read the oldest gospel, which is the Gospel of Mark, there's so many action words. He was leaving this, going there, suddenly he did this, then he did this. It's constant action. And the rest of the Gospels are very similar. Jesus was constantly on the move, right? He was going from one place to another, healing, raising the dead, doing all kinds of prayer work with people, and then he moved on, right? And now, of course, he's getting ready to come into Jerusalem in a couple of weeks for our Palm Sunday and on to Jerusalem. And even then, when they tried to pin him down, when they tried to nail him down and stick big rocks in front of him, what did he do? He moved on, right? He came off the cross, came out of the tomb, because his whole message is movement, movement forward. And he didn't whine about things. He didn't say, well, I don't think I really healed very well in that town. Am I doing the right thing? No, he just continued, right? And there were times when he couldn't heal. You know, went back to his home country. He healed nobody. Why? They knew him. They knew him as a human being. They knew him as a child and a young adult. So they couldn't believe in him and trust him. So they didn't get healed. Because it wasn't about him so much. It was about their willingness to allow this truth of being present to what is to be there for them, right? But he said, okay, big deal, I'm moving on. When 10 people who were ill were healed, and one of them came to him and said, thanks, he said, where's the other 9? And then moved on. He made a comment about our humanity, because, you know, sometimes it's difficult to be grateful, isn't it, even when good things happen. We noticed this. We should be more grateful, maybe. Well, 1 in 10 times we do, and the other times we forget. because we're just not paying attention, maybe, but that's okay. Move on. And Jesus has some advice for us in this regard, too. This is Luke 9, 57 to 62. As Jesus and his disciples traveled along the roads, moving straight ahead, right? As Jesus and his disciples traveled along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Nice words, aren't they? We've maybe said it the same. This spiritual path is so wonderful. I'm going to dedicate my whole time and energy to it. Yeah, I'm sure you are. Right? We have this intention that we want to, but we don't always follow through. Jesus tested him, and he said, "Foxes have dens, and the birds of the sky have nests, but the human one has no place to lay his head." What's he saying to that man who says, "I'll follow you everywhere"? It's tough. It takes commitment. This is no Mar-a-Lago. I'm not putting you up in a penthouse, you know. I don't have a big, nice place for you to go to. This is the road we're on. This is the work we're doing. And if you're ready for that, then join me. Because that road is unknown, right? If it was known, it wouldn't be the path, would it? Your road this afternoon, you don't know where it's going to go. You think you do, maybe. You've got some plans. But the most joyous part of the plan is when the plan falls apart and you experience something for the very first time without having preconceptions about it, yeah? Isn't that the most joyous times of my life? And when I'm like a child, open and receptive to wonder, yeah? So if you're ready not to have a place to put your head down, then join me, says Jesus. Then Jesus said to someone else, "Follow me." He replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father or my uncle." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and spread the news of God's kingdom." Now, does that mean that we're not supposed to look after the dead? Does that mean we're supposed to leave everything? No, I don't believe it is. Jesus is speaking in symbolic terms. What he's saying to us is, where is your priority, right? Is your priority first in the things of this world, or is your priority in spirit, and then that spirit will inform you how to live effectively in the things of this world, yeah? I don't think it means we give up on all our responsibilities. It simply means, am I being confused and overwhelmed by all my responsibilities, yeah? Because it's totally different, isn't it? We don't see the world as it truly is. We see it through our perceptions. And if our perceptions are clouded by desire, fear, preconception, anger, frustration, what do we see? A very confusing world. And if we buy into that day after day, somebody said at 9:30, it's the media that keeps us in fear, you know. Well, if that's the case, then turn it off. I was in Australia for 3 weeks, and so I couldn't get all my Facebook stuff that I usually get, because I only had, shock, horror, I could only turn it on every so often instead of all the darn time. And first of all, you know, I was worrying what to do with my thumbs. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? But after a while, it became very refreshing, you know, it's like, the world's going to do its thing regardless. I don't have to keep up with it every single moment. My priorities can shift in a new direction. And because of the extra time, then I get more time to be present to what is, right? Rather than what somebody tells me is at any given time. So we get to move from secondhand information to firsthand. That's the beauty of this, isn't it, being on the spiritual path? So, Jesus said what? Yeah, exactly. All right, moving on. I'm not giving up Facebook, I'm just saying. It's all done in love, you know, yeah. Jesus continues. Someone else said to Jesus, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say goodbye to those in my house, right? So it goes, I've got to take care of business. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? But sometimes those can be excuses for not stepping on to the path. And Jesus replies to him, he said, no one who puts a hand on the plow and looks back is fit for God's kingdom. You could take that as a judgmental saying, but I don't think it is. He's saying a fact, a spiritual truth here. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. You kind of two competing priorities, right? You've got to have one priority that you follow, and then everything else forms after that. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom, and then all the things you think you need will be given in the right and perfect way. But the priority has to be seek first the kingdom. Put your hand to the plow. Here's the question. What's the plow doing metaphysically? It's going straight ahead? And nothing until you push it. I got some oxen and horses that are doing that for me. Leave me alone. The oxen of spirit are moving for me. But, you know, the plow unfolds things, doesn't it? It reveals things. It opens things up, right? That's the plow. That's the work of spirit opening things for us. And as we said, you need to go straight forward with your furrow. You don't want a wavy, wobbly furrow, folks. Why not? You can have wavy gravy, but when it comes to furrows, they got to go straight ahead. You know, how long have I been away for now? It feels great to be back. Work with me here, okay? The interesting thing about analogies is there's a million of them, right? Analogies only work as far as the analogy. And if you try and apply it to everything, it's not going to work. So yes, there are no straight lines in nature. But in terms of spirit, there's definitely a straight line, okay? Straight ahead. Because if you're wobbling all over the place, it makes the seeds more difficult to plant. Okay, there's the answer. Whereas you got a straight line, you got your seeds going straight into the drill, everything's great. So that's what we're talking about. If we're wobbling all over the place, and if you're wobbling all over the place, you're going to hit the concrete barriers also. Moving on. So what have we learned so far? We are mixing metaphors, yeah.
Be present to what is, even if it's egg.
Even if it's egg. Okay, that's helpful. All right.
God is always present.
Now, in that, let's return to sense here, because in that moment of awareness where we choose to not be distracted, we are never alone, right? There's always the presence. We could call it the voice. Russ Ballard calls it the voice. I hear voices, right, waiting for me to set it free. The voice within us, the still small voice, is waiting for us to set it free so it can teach us, so it can give us information, spiritual information. And we've all received this at certain times in our lives when we trust and allow ourselves to be at this beginning point, because it seems to me we're always... Doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter how old you are, you're always at the beginning point, right? Every moment is the beginning point, and it's total freedom, it's total openness at that moment. And you get to follow it through, or you get to wobble in all directions because we're distracted by various things. Russ Ballard goes on to say, he says, don't look back. I love these lines. Don't look back, look straight ahead. Don't turn away. Then the voice that says, don't look back because yesterday's gone. Don't turn away. You can take it on. You have the power to do this. So my question is, what sometimes turns us back? What gets in the way? We mentioned media, What else gets in the way of not being able to stay in that moment of beautiful opening and freedom? Uncertainty about what's going to happen. You know, some people want green lights 10 miles down the road, right, before they can leave the house. But it's not going to happen, is it? So you can't not do something because you can't see everything down the road. Regret. Living, oh, I wish I'd done something. And it's crippling, isn't it? Because we cannot change it. We can only change our consciousness now. And so if we're living in remorse, regret, or resentment's the same thing. We're holding on to something that no longer exists, but we're reanimating it. We're living a zombie life, reanimating the corpses of the past and letting them haunt us. Woulda, shoulda, coulda. What else? What else gets in the way? Distractions of all kinds, yeah. Facebook. Wish I'd never mentioned that. People. How do people get in the way? Yes, we allow folks to have demands upon us, to have their preconceptions become real for us, right? Where their preconceptions can be their preconceptions. Their energy can be their energy, but it doesn't have to infiltrate us because we put the white light of Spirit around us. I was always taught when I was first in Unity, wrap the white light of Spirit around you, not as a defense, but as a golden protection against negative energy so you can stay centered in the truth. Anything else? These are all things, whether they're resentments, remorse, distractions, the media, they're all things that are where? Where do they lodge? They're external, or we drag them into our lives from the past, right? They have no validity in this moment now. And that's the beautiful good news and possibility. In this moment now, everything's new, right? I don't have to live from the past. In terms of my uncle, it's difficult to do all the probate stuff because I'm the next of kin from thousands of miles away. It certainly was in Australia, a little easier now. But I got two opportunities. I could say, oh my God, I'm going to be overwhelmed with this. Why did this happen? Or I could say, thank you, God, for this opportunity to do this, to look after my uncle and see where it leads. And if I do the second, then I'm in the flow. But if I choose the first, then I'm overwhelmed, right? So this is the very pertinent point. And we're not going to have a pop quiz, but let's have what we can take from what we've talked about today. What I'm taking from it is, yes, I can have freedom in the moment, which guides me to live effectively, and I don't have to fear anything. I've got the power, the capability to do it. That's my takeaway. What's yours? Be the presence of love. Yeah, we put that up on the marquee this week, didn't we? Yeah. Be the presence of love, because love is present in this place we're talking about, right? In this moment that is now. There is only that. Beautiful. What else? Yeah, won't waste time, you know? Time is precious, right? How much you got left? We don't know. It'll be all over this afternoon. So don't waste it, right? Where's my priority? My priority is not on reliving the past. Absolutely not. Yes, you know, to release, to let go with love. Because from the presence of love that I am right now, and you are, and we all are, then we can do that forgiveness work. Not all people are in our lives. Hey, I'm not in my life forever either, you know. I'm only here temporarily myself. Yeah. Talking about letting go of somebody that isn't always good for us in our lives. And we're going to do a loving kindness meditation on that in a moment. But, you know, I was not being facetious when I say that I'm temporary too, in the sense that all the baggage that we carry because we're human is temporary, right? The truth of us is spirit. And so if I'm paying too much attention to all my problems, then I'm not being able to do the work that is mine to do. So the task at hand is to grasp that plow, isn't it? To move down that furrow, to do what is mine to do this week from that infinite possibility of now, from that moment of freedom, from the moment of possibility. When we do that, it's going to be a really, really good week. Let's check in next week and see if I'm right. Amen.
We're going to do a loving kindness meditation this morning. But before we start, I wanted to ask you if you would try something with me on this meditation. I know that we have seasoned meditators here, and many of you may already incorporate this method of meditation into your practice, so I ask your indulgence as I explain it. Often when we meditate, we close our eyes, which is, by the way, a perfectly good way to meditate. But this morning, I'm going to ask you to keep your eyes open. In keeping with the sermon title of Looking Straight Ahead, let's try something a little bit different, something that I've found that helps me to be more present when I meditate. I'm going to ask you to look at about a 45-degree angle. That's kind of down the line of your nose, with your eyes half open and half closed. Try it with me now. Don't fixate on any point or object. Just keep a soft focus as you sit with your feet on the ground, your back straight, and your shoulders soft, your hands resting on your legs. We'll take a few deep breaths to establish a feeling of calm and bring our minds back home. If you notice that your mind is somewhat noisy, try lowering your gaze a bit. On the other hand, if you feel dull and sleepy, try bringing your gaze up just a bit. But remember that our goal is to keep our eyes open during this meditation. Your gaze should be like the vast expanse of the ocean, all-pervading, open, and limitless. Now let's move into our loving kindness meditation. We begin this meditation by arousing a motivation of profound compassion, wishing that this practice might be of transforming benefit for ourselves and to all beings. Start by recalling a memory when you felt cared for or loved, and allow that love to once again, warm your heart and fill the whole of your being so that you feel comfortable, spacious, and well, while silently repeating, "May I be happy. May I be well. May I be safe." Now, gradually extend your love to others. Think of someone you admire or someone who has been especially kind or loving to you. As you remember this person's kindness and feel it again, your heart may naturally respond with love and gratitude as you mentally wish, "May you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe." And now remember a happy time you shared with a good friend, or recall the qualities that you value in his or her friendship. Feeling appreciation for your friend, you can wish, may you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. Now think of a person that you really have no history with, either someone you know but feel indifferent towards, or perhaps a stranger you have recently seen. Reflect how, just like you, this person wishes to be happy and well and safe. See this person not as a meaningless face in the crowd, but in the fullness of their humanity, while sending the wish, may you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. Now think of someone with whom you've had a relatively minor difficulty, someone who irritates you or someone you simply don't like being with, sending him or her the wish, may you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. Now bring to mind a person who's treated you badly or someone who's hostile. See if you can reflect on the person in a way that enables you to see them freshly. Reflect on something positive about him or her, or a time when he or she showed kindness, while wishing, may you be happy, may you be well, may you be safe. Reflect that just as you wish to be happy and be free of suffering, so do any people who hurt you. If they're negative or harmful, reflect that they've lost contact with their true nature, which is fundamental goodness. Sincerely wanting them to be truly well, send them the wish, may you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. Let's extend the same love and wish for happiness to those who live in our home, to those who go to our schools and churches, those who live in our communities and cities, in our state, in our nation, and in our world, with the wish, may you be happy, may you be well, may you be safe. To all people, rich and poor, people in places of disaster, famine, or warfare, those we believe are causing the suffering of others, those who are trying to alleviate the suffering of others, may you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. Finally, extend your sincere wish for happiness and love to all beings, indeed to all beings in all forms, including animals, insects, and spirits everywhere throughout the universe, in all directions, limitlessly. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. And now, simply let go of the reflections and the phrases and rest for a moment in an atmosphere of all-pervasive love. as we end our meditation. We dedicate it to the ultimate happiness of ourselves and all beings. And so it is. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.